This call is being recorded.
Hello, my friends. Welcome to the call. Father, Jesus, and HS, I'll give you their love, and I still give you my peace. Let's open in prayer. Again, let me know if my phone cuts out at any time, okay? I will not be offended. Here we go. Father of love, we come before you and we bow. We give our thanks that you have arranged this meeting for us, and even though it's been a couple weeks since the time we had it originally scheduled, you will still provide for us, and we appreciate that. We feel you around us, you are in our presence, and we look forward, Father, to hearing what it is that you've prepared for us and the information that you would like us to share with our teammates and their spouses, that, Father, this will bind our hearts to bring us closer together, but also prepare us for the future and that which it holds for us. And see, Father, the concerns that rest on our teammates and friends and family members' hearts, that you will now provide extra strength for them to either carry it, or if you'll lift it off of them for an hour, that they are not distracted. The call is yours. Provide now your peace. We lay everything in your hands. According to what we ask, in your name we pray. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Okay. I met with Father on Friday, and here's what he said. My dear team, what a wonderful time of the year. The flowers are blooming, the trees are prospering, and allergies abound. Many changes are coming down the road with the United States and the world. So many hearts already ache because of injustice and pure evil. You will come to find, very shortly, why I need my guardians. You will protect the bride along with mankind. For each of you, there have been small changes that have taken place in your hearts and lives. You have made an effort to overcome yourself and not sin as much. Thank you. With every little effort comes great victories. Never stop trying. I have no catastrophic news for you. You are already aware of the wars taking place over the world. I can tell you they will only get worse, but you will not be affected for now. Please stay focused on the things you can change and help out where you can. Please try and spend more time meditating and visiting with us. We are lonely. And Father smiled. You might think that things are not moving forward with my plans. I move slowly and methodically, because of all the lives that need to be aligned just right before my plan clicks into action. So many things need to be just right. I am always making adjustments because of will. I appreciate how all of you are trying to serve me more. Always find at least one thing that you can do in your home congregation. I do not want anyone being lazy. The time will come when many hearts will turn towards you and against the world. It is important that you understand your own faith, our doctrine, and of course, the Bible. Please make an effort to secure your understanding of these things. Spouses too, please. Our doctrine is sound, but some of the leaders are trying to change it or skirt around it per se. This is unacceptable to me. I know that you do not like many of the changes that are happening. We have spoken of this in the past. Please stay the course. I am watching everything that is happening. I will only allow so much to change. Please know that I love you and support you. Does anybody have any questions? I know it's short and sweet.
He didn't use the word soon. He said shortly. Is that the same?
Yes.
Okay. No. Just checking.
No, it's a good comment. Wise comment. Anybody else?
It's interesting that he separated out the United States from the world.
Mm-hmm. You caught that, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I could tell you that the United States has a very special place in his heart because we are the only country that has on our currency "In God We Trust," but we're also the only country that actually founded its foundation on faith in Father. That's why. So sucking up to Father is a win-win. Everyone remember that.
Got it.
Anything else? Okay. I asked Atmos to put together each month a discussion about the religions, and he picked Islam again. And when he and I spoke, I said, well, we kind of went over Islam already. And he remarked back and said he didn't really get a lot out of it. And I'll be honest, neither did I. So I have asked him to go over what he has got for us. So go ahead, Atmos.
Okay. High level, real quick. Not real quick, but as fast as I can without blowing everybody too far away.
So you're okay.
The beliefs in Islam, they believe in one God. The most important teaching of Islam is that the only God is to be served and worshipped. Also, the biggest sin in Islam is to worship other beings with God. Not sure what that really means, to be honest with you. I couldn't figure it out. In fact, Muslims believe that it is the only sin that God does not forgive if a person dies before repenting from it. So if you worship something else along with God or next to God, then you basically are screwed. Belief in angels, they have a belief in prophets of God. Muslims believe that God communicates his guidance through human prophets sent to every nation. These prophets start with Adam and include Noah, Abraham, Moses, Jesus, and Muhammad. Peace be upon them, is what it says from their website. The main message of all the prophets has always been that there is only one true God, and he alone is worthy of being supplicated to and worshipped. Belief in revealed books of God. Muslims believe that God revealed his wisdom and instructions through books to some of the prophets, like the Psalms, Torah, and the Gospel. Over time, however, the original teachings of these books got distorted or lost, and Muslims believe the Quran is God's final revelation revealed to the prophet Muhammad and has been fully preserved. So at one time, they actually believed and read and had a books of the Bible inside of their beliefs and inside of their own Bible until the prophet Muhammad came in and changed all of it. They believe in the Day of Judgment. The life of this world and all that is in it will come to an end on an appointed day. At that time, every person will be raised from the dead. God will judge each person individually according to his faith and his good and bad actions. God will show mercy and fairness in judgment. According to Islamic teachings, those who believe in God and perform good deeds will be eternally rewarded in heaven. Those who reject faith in God will be eternally punished in the fire of hell. They believe in destiny and divine decree. Muslims believe that since God is the sustainer of all life, nothing happens except by his will and his full knowledge. This belief does not contradict the idea of free will. God does not force us. Our choices are known to God beforehand because his knowledge is complete. This recognition helps the believer through difficulties and hardships. Some of the processes that they have inside the faith, and I'm going to let everybody know right now that it's a lot different than any Christian faith as far as different decrees, that type of thing. Some of the processes are the declaration of faith, the statement, La ilaha illa Allah wa Muhammad Rasulullah, meaning there is no deity worthy of being worshipped except God or Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger prophet of God. So that's their declaration of faith. So if you can remember that in whatever language that was, I think that was Arab. I'm not sure. Really correct me if I'm wrong. I probably am. The declaration of faith for them is more than just a statement. It must be shown with action. So to convert over to the faith of Islam, a person has to say this statement in front of a group. They believe in daily prayer, as we probably well know. Zakah is another one. It's a type of charity. Muslims recognize that all wealth is a blessing from God, and certain responsibilities are required in return. In Islam, it is the duty of the wealthy to help the poor and the needy. That's one of their other beliefs. Fast of Ramadan, we've probably all heard that as well. Once each year, Muslims are commanded to fast for an entire month from dawn to sunset. Not gonna lie, I'm glad I'm not having to do that in my faith. The period of intense spiritual devotion is known as the fast of Ramadan, in which no food or drink or sex is allowed during the fast. Really glad I'm not a part of this religion.
For a whole month?
For a whole month. No, once each year for an entire month, which, yeah, no, that's rough. After sunset, one can enjoy these things. So after the sun sets, you're good to go, right? But during the day, no go. During this month, Muslims practice self-control and focus on prayers and devotion. And this the fast of Ramadan was one of those things, and even their prayer is one of those things that Muslims have a devout following, and the people inside that faith do not mess around. They tend to be much stronger and more, what do I want to say, consistent with their practices than I see in a lot of other religions. During the fast of Ramadan, Muslims learn to sympathize with those in the world who have little to eat. Now, the last one is the Hajj pilgrimage to Mecca. So every Muslim strives to make a once-in-a-lifetime pilgrimage to the sacred sites in Mecca, in present-day Saudi Arabia. It is the most intense spiritual experience for a Muslim, and typically 2 to 3 million perform the Hajj every year. And just, we'll go through real quick core teachings of the Prophet Muhammad, and then we'll get into the core of the Islamic law or Sharia, just so that this is a very high overview, so keep that in mind. I haven't put any links in this sheet yet, and I need to do that, so I'll go back for your, that you can reference it later. Core teachings of the Prophet Muhammad: actions are judged by the intention behind them. That was number one. Number two, God is pure and does not accept anything unless it is pure. And God has commanded the faithful with what he has commanded the prophet. Number three, part of a person's good observance of Islam is to leave aside what does not concern him. Number four, a person cannot be a complete believer unless he loves for his brother what he loves for himself, which I thought was an interesting way of putting that. One should not harm himself or others. Don't let your focus in this life be to amass worldly gain, and God will love you. Don't be concerned with what people have, and they will love you. And then the core Islamic law, or Sharia, is the preservation of religion, life, family, mind, wealth, and some contemporary scholars suggest either justice or liberty to be the sixth category. So in a nutshell, very high level, that's kind of the core beliefs and processes behind the Islamic faith. As you can see, there's nothing there where it says you need to beat your wife and you need to kill people and everybody needs to be a Muslim. So there's obviously some extremism, and you have that in every religion, but I did not read the Quran front to back either. I'm sure there may be some little things in there that people have been misrepresenting, but this is the core of the Muslim faith. Any questions?
Loads of questions, but I want to read more. It's a very confusing religion.
It is.
There's a lot to it.
That you said that they can't do things during the day, but they can do it at night.
During Ramadan.
During Ramadan. I've never heard that before. Which, again, I'm not judging. I'm making a comment because you're right. There's a lot of things. Fasting even is one of the things that was brought up years ago, and we all laughed. We're like, and we all looked at our stomachs and we're like, oh, well, maybe we should do that, you know. But I've never heard of that morning night. I have to read more about Ramadan.
Yeah, I had heard about prejudices. Ramadan.
Yeah, it's very hard for me to talk about this without being
angered.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. We'll leave it at that, right? That's not the purpose of the discussion, but it's interesting. And Jim said, sorry, Tryland has had some Muslim friends, and they've talked with him at length about the badness, I guess. But, you know, sorry, there's a plane going.
And it goes like with any faith. I mean, you have those that are to the book or by the book, and then you have those that go past the book, and then you have those that don't really quite reach the book. So there's like the whole, you know, from one end to the other spectrum where you have people that are just, you just, I mean, I think it's with every faith, because you have like, pardon what I'm going to say, but you have Jesus freaks, which they say that they have the very strong faith and they want to like project it on everybody and show everybody that they have like such a strong faith and that they're, but in realistic, like, are they truly really following a faith, or are they just following what they think they, you know what I mean? So it's, I mean, I think that they have like a basis, kind of like the Christian basis, but everybody has their own, just like he said, like they used to have, you know, the different books that they would go through with from the Bible, but then when Muhammad came along, he changed it all, you know, so then he completely like reverted the Islamic faith to what he wanted it to be instead of what it originally was. So it's just,
And again, I had never heard that before. It's a great point. I need to read more about it, because
right.
Those are two points I've never heard. I thought that the Muslim faith was created from Muhammad. I didn't realize that there was a historical understanding.
Right.
Yeah, that's, again, how little I know. I'll put me, not we. But thank you. That was very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
My pleasure.
Thank you. To continue our deeper understanding for this meeting, I thought maybe we could discuss the church emblem that we have, what it means and what it represents. The cross, of course, equals Jesus' sacrifice. And then there's three waves at the bottom of the cross. The first wave represents apostles. The second wave represents teachers. The third wave represents healers. And back in the day when the church started, there was a fourth wave, and that actually was about prophets. But Father said we no longer need prophets, and that's why this cross was updated. The slats, which are the 10 things that you see, because those are not the rays. I don't even know what to call those. But those represent the 10 commandments. The rays are the spaces between those slats that we see on each side. And there's 12 of those spaces. They represent the first 12 apostles. And then the sun center, it represents Christ's return. Anybody have any questions?
I did not know about the fourth.
Yep. If you look back, I still have the prehistoric church ring. It has four. If you go to any church that has the glass in the altar, it's got four.
Stained glass, yeah.
Yeah, the stained glass, yeah. Yeah, Vala said we don't need prophets because we have the apostolate now.
So with the third wave you said stood for healers, what does the church define as healer?
Us.
Does the church define that as us, or is Father defining that as us?
Father's defining it as us.
So what does the church define it as?
The church believes that there can be healers, because in the first church there was, and also in the second sending of the apostles, they were doing healing. He didn't elaborate on it. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, through... What's that?
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to know where you found all that about the cross. Like, where did you research that or find that?
We, probably, I don't know, 30 years ago, Chicago young people researched this. And one of the youth took it upon themselves to actually go back and found all this information. And I just remember it.
Wow.
Yeah, because I thought it was just a cool emblem, but there's actual significance behind it. You do that, huh? You know, you think Father put something together just for the heck of it. Apparently not.
That's a cool thing that I might do to alter my tattoo, though. Instead of making the slats the rays, I can actually get rays tattooed in.
Sure.
That's interesting.
You know, and the other thing, Father, go ahead.
Go ahead, Jim. I keep interrupting you. I'm sorry.
That's okay. The other thing that Father wanted me to preface, that the ministers keep saying that we're no different than any other church, this is why we are different. It's one of the reasons, or I should say another one of the reasons, that we are different. Go ahead.
So the 12 rays, right?
Yes.
Are for the
12 apostles. The first 12 apostles.
But couldn't they represent your team?
They could, but that wasn't just part of this.
Oh, okay.
Because there's going to actually be more. I mean, there's going to be a core, 12 core guardians who are going to train other guardians. And there's going to be one guardian for every apostle that serves.
Got it.
But that's down the road.
Okay.
Soon.
Shortly.
Any day now. Anybody else? Okay, I also wanted to discuss with everybody why we, as a congregation, at the end of a service, receive the blessing, and then we also sing a threefold Amen. The blessing is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us that so that when we go through our week, His grace is still there for you and I. And what that represents is He is our eternal advocate. So during the week when you and I make a mistake, Jesus also sees, just like Father does, and He will go to Father immediately and explain to Father, here's why I did that, or perhaps this is why they made a mistake. So He gives us His grace to get us through the following week until we come back into Father's house. The love of God is the second part. Father's love covers us. No matter what we're doing or where we are, He has told you and I many times, I am always with you. He wanted to preface that again. And the last part, the communion of the fellowship, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. That means that HS is going to be with you. He's going to commune with you all the rest of the week if you allow Him to influence you, guide you, but He's there for you as well. And then we sing the threefold Amen because now we're in full agreement with Jesus, with Father, and with HS, it's almost a thank you for the blessing, but it's also an affirmation, and it means I agree with everything that you gave us in the service today. Anybody have any questions? Okay. Now, under the worthless, but interesting tidbits, Adam was 930 years old when he died. That blew me away when I found that out, because I have often thought as a little human being, there's going to be 1,000 years of peace and nobody's going to die. How's that even possible? We can't even live past 90 in this lifetime that we're living in. But he lived to be 930 years. Now, if you tack on the time he was around prior to when they sinned, you add 100,000 years to that. And I don't know about you, but I don't think I want to be around that long.
Oh, my
goodness. Oh, exactly. And then if you do the math and you take a third of that, you could estimate that that's how long Eve was around, but I don't know how old she was, and I don't know. They don't really talk about her passing, so I don't know that. Now, here's another thing that I found interesting, but it's, again, kind of worthless, but it's interesting. What do you think Father does with his spare time when he's not creating universes or souls? Anybody got any idea? Take a stab at it. Thought I'd try and make this a little more fun.
Keeps the galaxy spinning. If the galaxy stops spinning, we fall down like the plates on those sticks. So he's like that guy, right?
Good
point. He's playing backgammon.
Yes, perhaps. looking for something more deeper here. Thank you for playing along.
Is he moving our lives? Is he playing the chess pieces to move things?
That he does. There's other things he does. And this actually impacts... Let me narrow it down for you. It impacts the world we live in.
I was just going to say he's probably adjusting his strategy to free will.
Yes. It's even more obvious than that.
Creating souls?
Yes. It has to do with the physical world you and I live in. Fred said weather. Yes. Let me narrow it down for you.
I was going to say spending time with us.
Yes. Correct. All these answers are correct. But here's what I found fascinating. He is also, from when he started this entire planet up until today, he still creates new animals and insects and such. In 2018, scientists found 120 new species of wasps, 34 species of slugs, 28 different ant species, 19 different fish species, 7 different flowering plants, 7 different spiders, 4 eels, 3 sharks, 2 different water bears, 1 frog, 1 snake, 1 seahorse, 1 moss, and the best thing of all, 1 liverwort plant. So he still is creating things, and everyone seems to think that these things are just happening on their own. And I kind of nailed him down and asked him, and he went, yes. He goes, it's a hobby of mine. Okay. But I thought that was kind of interesting, so I felt I should share that with you.
Can he take some of the nasty ones away?
Yeah.
Like flies and mosquitoes?
He said that's part of the curse. That's pestilence. That has to be.
Oh, man.
Because mankind sinned. Oh, no, I already pulled that one out of my pocket, too. Anybody have another comment? Yeah, I found it fascinating.
I wouldn't have thought. I mean, but you're right. There's new
mm-hmm.
creations, and that was always my argument when things are dying. They're going extinct. And I'm like, isn't it great? Because there's room for more new things.
Correct.
You know, maybe it's time for the polar bears to die. I mean, as cruel as that sounds, but you know what I mean?
Right.
I'm glad
yes.
the dinosaurs aren't here. I'm really glad
exactly.
the dinosaurs aren't here.
Exactly. That's a valid point.
That's interesting. His hobby is creating new flora and fauna.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Just like he creates new humans all the time.
That's correct.
I mean, those that go, then he's got to have one or two to replace those that go, right? So.
He said creating souls is the crux of his work. He is like an artist that puts fine brush strokes on when he thinks it's ready to go.
And he finishes it by.
Yeah. When he's just in the belly, that's how we have belly buttons to see if we're ready to go.
Yeah.
Which Adam and Eve didn't have when they're the only two humans that didn't because they were created. Wouldn't that be weird to look at, huh? Take a picture of that. No belly button. Okay. Moving along. I wanted to bring to everyone's attention that when you and I are in service, it doesn't have to just be sitting there and listening. Because, I should say, it's supposed to be live and coming forth from Father in Jesus' heart through HS, and the services can be interactive. Let me give you an example. We had a small group a couple weeks ago, and one of the brothers there shared that when his dad was alive and still going to the services, he said during a service, the minister was explaining something, and his father said to the Lord, I really don't understand what you're trying to tell us here. He said, all of a sudden, the minister came up with a different way to explain it. And his dad said to this young man, I still said to the Lord, okay, I know you're trying to show me a different way, but I still really don't understand. He said, and immediately, The minister then came up with another way to explain it. He said, and then he said to Father, okay, that makes sense. He goes, and then immediately the minister went on to a different, off on a different tangent. You and I have the ability to ask questions during a service. And if we have the faith, like this man had the faith that he knew Father would answer him, which is just amazing to me. If you and I can have that during a service, if something doesn't make sense to us, we can quietly say to Father, I don't understand that. Could you please explain it in a different way? Because I know recently I've been saying to him, I'm not getting anything. Can we have some more meat or something more definitive, something new? And then there'll be a tidbit. There will be, but you got to be listening for it. Any questions?
I concur. That mm-hmm. happened today. I was watching the service. Yeah.
What'd you say, Dan?
Did you hear me, Tyler? You also need to come to Holland. We miss you.
Holland. Yes. I will project myself. So if you see some big chubby guy, some entity that's rolling around in a chair, you know, and all of a sudden something knocks over, that'll be me. but I was sitting there, and I will spare my crabby comments. I was not in a good mood this morning. Today I was just not feeling it, and I couldn't get the technology to work, and finally it logged in. So I'm listening, and the priest was serving, and I was like, yawn. There's just nothing. There's nothing, nothing, nothing. And like 10 seconds later, the minister said something. I went, oh, thank you. You know, and then it was almost off tangent, right? It was not even like what he was talking about, but it was interesting. And then he went back on to the same line. But I concur that Father is very gracious. It brightened my morning. It actually changed my mood. So
good.
How interactive, though? One question.
Well,
how interactive?
You can't stand up and go, I think that's crap. Oh. Yeah, don't do that. And don't stand up and go, I need to ask a question, please. Yeah, don't do that. Yeah. Just do it quietly.
Danielle.
What if you don't want to say amen?
You don't? I don't. Oh. I shouldn't say that out loud, but I just did. Sometimes I don't agree with what the minister said.
Well, I mean, honestly, though, because if there's,
yes,
like things that you know that are, you're like, well, that's not the Holy Spirit talking, that's
correct.
You and okay.
Yeah, no, you don't have to, because now you're lying, right? That's another sin that's going to get tacked on. It's not worth it. And I've said that to Father too. I've said I don't agree with that, and I just quietly don't say anything then.
Okay. I just don't feel good. Too bad either, because I was in a mood this morning too. There was a switch that flipped in me during service for some reason. Something, I don't know what it was, but man, things got bad quick. So. I feel your pain.
Yeah, I hate arriving at service, obviously mine is virtual, without the right heart's attitude. We've heard that for years, right? It's so important. I think it's more important now. And having the option to be a little bit more interactive, it would be great, because just that little bit helped me. Just, I can't tell you how much it helped me. And it was almost like Father like pat me on the back of the head going, okay, there you go. You know,
it's good.
I will use that tool.
It's also important that during the week you have conversations with Father where we ask him different things. Because if you don't ask, you're not going to get.
Yeah.
Right? And he'll either
directly
tell you, or he'll out in the service. And that's why people say, you know, it's not that important to go to a midweek service. They're kind of lame. Seriously? Because maybe Father's now put everything that you need to help perfect your soul in the Wednesday service, and you're not there. Now what? Now what? Now he's going to try again the following Sunday? Some people don't realize, like I've said it before, the amount of time that Father invests in every service and in every soul. If you think about it, how is he able to serve every single soul and give them something? Because he's God. He doesn't fit in a box. He can do anything he wants. And because he sees our hearts, he already knows what you and I are going to ask him. But as a parent, you want your children to ask you, even though you know when they come to you, they want something because they're sticking up to you and they're telling you how nice you look. And you already know there's something behind it. Father is the same way. He knows what we need, but he wants to hear us. So don't be afraid or ashamed at any time to have a conversation with Father and ask him anything. Doesn't matter what it is. That's his gift to you and I. And I think our brothers and sisters truly understand how magical that is. And because of his love, he's willing to help you and I out because he wants us to come home, right? That's ultimately what he wants. Anybody else want to add something?
Yeah, I'd like to, if I may.
Please.
So the other way that the Holy Spirit can work with us, and I found this, when a servant says something, and we automatically know, I mean, the Holy Spirit tells us it's right or it's not. And so even when something comes out that's kind of like, that, you know, from them or whatever, the Holy Spirit's still telling us stuff. And so if we get all frustrated about the service and that we're not getting anything, then we might be missing out on stuff the Holy Spirit's going to give to us. Because our thought, Holy Spirit speaks to us that way. Now, I don't want to presume that that happens with everyone. And I would hope that it didn't, because then there would be like a mass, well, it doesn't really matter because I get it directly. But we're in a unique situation.
Yes.
We're in like the beginning stages of all of these changes. And, you know, Father just wrote us a letter. Father speaks to us. We go see Father. And so the Holy Spirit's giving us that which we need. And so we could potentially not receive those things if we go into us to be disciplined.
Good point. Thank you. Very good point. Anything else? Okay. I wanted to bring to your attention again that the spirit of this world is very active. And he will find a way to weasel his way into your relationships, into your families, to disrupt. And we were in Chicago this past weekend, and we were having a conversation with a number of my family members, and I shared with them a situation where Starlight and I had him literally standing in our living room causing problems. And I said to my loved one, this is exactly how he works. This is the way he works, and this is what he does. I just wanted to reiterate to everyone to be on your guard, to be aware of that, when all of a sudden the two of you are, or the family is arguing over something that's really stupid. It doesn't really matter. And we get so worked up sometimes, and we got to make sure that the other person understands where we're coming from, that we don't stop for a minute and think, who's messing this up for us? We had peace a second ago, and now we're arguing about who's going to put the shoes over there or whose socks or what. Please be aware of it. Don't let them in your home. It's important that you and I continue to pray for protection, because sometimes Father's going to allow him to come in, or any other spirit, to test you and I to see what the deal is. Any questions?
Is there a correct way to get him out of the house, get the spirit out of the house? Like, sometimes I've found that pogging, for whatever reason, I don't know, Father just doesn't allow it to work. And he's like, no, you have to work through this on your own, is the feeling I get. And then that frustrates me even more, because I'm like, why can't this just work now and get him out of here?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does, because I know that I stood there yelling at him. And I told him to get my house, of our lives, and he didn't go anywhere. And it was when Starlight and I actually acknowledged the fact that he was there, he lost all power and he left. So us pogging him, us threatening him, it doesn't do anything. But when you and I pull back for a second and we calm ourselves, he has absolutely nothing he can do. That makes sense?
That makes sense, because I tried everything, including like pulling my sword out and sharpening it in front of him, and he didn't. Nothing worked.
That's brilliant. I've never sharpened my sword.
I have something in the hilt, so when I pull it out, it's like, swing.
Uh-huh.
When you acknowledge things, it brings things to light, so then the spirits and things, they aren't as powerful. Because I found, like, if I'm anxious about something, or I feel like I'm being, you know, just poked, you know, and I will just, I'll say it out loud, and I'll just, you know, say it to Triland about, you know, I feel like this is happening, or I'm really, you know, not upset or nervous or whatever emotion it is that seems like it's out of left field somewhere. If you acknowledge it and you know that you think it's a spirit or whatnot, then that spirit knows that you know, and now you've taken away all, I mean, they can try, but you're already, because you're speaking it out loud, you're acknowledging it, so therefore you're taking away the power behind it.
Amen, sister.
Makes sense. Does it make sense?
Wow, that's interesting.
So does.
Yeah, because I do that a lot. I've done it a lot, and it's tried and true. I mean, that most of the time. But then if they try to retaliate, you're already onto them because you already know what's happening. So it just dissolves a lot of the ammunition behind it.
Well, and then you can also see, like, the way you're acting, you know what I mean? Like, you can be like, okay, mm-hmm. Now I know why that I have that attitude, or why I'm so upset about this, or why we're doing that. And then you, like, almost can kind of notice it before it gets real bad, because you're consciously thinking about it. So you're almost kind of like a preamp, you know, whatever. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Correct.
You know, the thing that we have to realize is that we're not immune to this. I mean, we have to be overcomers as well. And so all of this stuff, I mean, every negative thought can come into our mind, and every negative feeling we could have, and we could invite them. You know, we've dealt with it before where we've tried to help someone, but we can't help them because they keep inviting this demon back or these demons back. We kill them. We keep killing them, but they keep reinforcements are coming because of the attitude of the individual. Well, we're not immune to this. That's for sure.
Correct.
A thought just came, and maybe this is just my obscure brain, but
are you there?
Hello?
Are you there? We can't hear you.
Oh, my headphones disconnected. Sorry. Hello?
Yep. We can hear you. We can't hear you. We hear you breathing now.
Can hear me now?
We can hear you now.
Okay, sorry, my headphones.
No, it's a spirit crisis.
The five wise, the five foolish virgins. It was made clear years ago, and it was interesting, and it stuck in my head. It wasn't like the five were stupid, and the five were cool, and they were vigilant. I'm sure. I'm assuming everybody remembers that parable. If not, I'm sorry. It talked about how they were ready for the master to approach, and it was brought out that they were vigilant. That's why they were the five wise. It wasn't that the five foolish weren't worthy. It's just the five wise were vigilant. And I think this is just a test, right? This is how we need to be tested. And you know, every day I think how close we are to Father, and our discussion even today is interactive. It is, it's just between us. I'm chomping at the bit to be able to share this with other people at a level of more than just, hey, how's it going? Oh, and you can, you know what I mean? And we like where we can actually teach people this, because this is what's going to help, in my humble opinion, make people more attracted to our faith, is how close we are to Father, and not just the hearsay and the blah-bitty blah and, you know, all the stuff that we think that religion is. Because even I've heard people say, oh, and you can probably do that stupid singing at the end of service like all the other religions. I'm like, oh, yes, we do, but it, you don't get it. So this, us being vigilant and being tested where we can give people pointed examples, and I'll be done rambling in a second, but pointed examples of how our faith has changed and how we're closer to Father because of A, B, C, and then do X, Y, Z, and then 1, 2, 3. And people are going to go, oh, well, that's going to be great. So this is actually very poignant. I appreciate you bringing up this because there are so many things that we are. Yes, we are the same. Yes, there's the triune God. Yes, there's the, you know, the sacraments, and yes, there's this, but there's so much that we're different. And again, this is exactly where I went last month, but I'm very adamant because I have a lot of time to think, and I don't really get to talk to a lot of people. And I formulate ideas and thoughts and words on how in the future we are going to be able to talk and share this. This is mm-hmm. wonderful. Thank you.
You're welcome. And this is why Father made the point in his message to us that many hearts are going to turn towards us. And it's important that you and I understand our faith. We understand the Bible. He's not saying that you have to quote scripture, but somebody's going to throw at you, well, where in the Bible are you making your reference from? I can't tell you, you know, first chapter, James, second verse, blah, blah, blah. He said this, but I can tell you New Testament or Old Testament. And I can kind of give you an idea of who said that. And that's kind of what Father's looking for. He's not looking for us to thump the Bible and know all that, and especially what our doctrine is and why our doctrine is the way it is. And that's why we've been doing this, a deeper understanding thing, because I want all of you guys to have a heads up on everything, because people are going to come in, they're going to flood into the church, and our brothers and sisters, and forgive me for saying this, are clueless as to why we do certain things. I mean, I even threw out today, we didn't go to the outdoor service because it's an hour and a half farther away from Michigan. So we actually watched Portage's service with my family. We were at their house. And at the end of it, I asked them, do you understand why we the threefold amen and the blessing? And they all shook their heads no. So I shared with them this information. If you get into a circle of people that know who you are, share this information with them, because then they're going to spread the information too. And it's important that you and I understand our faith, because there are so many religions out there. I'll have conversations with people. I'll say to them, well, why do you guys do that? Well, I don't know. The difference between our church too and the other ones is we do not have rituals. We have holy acts that are performed. They're not man-made. They were established by Jesus and created by Father. I should say, created by Father and implemented by Jesus. Does that make sense? Anybody
say that again? We don't have rituals. We don't have rituals.
We have holy acts. Father created them, and Jesus implemented them, and our apostles now carry them out. Because a ritual is something that you do over and over again. Over and over again, it really doesn't have much meaning, but it's a ritual. That's why we're doing it. We don't know why we're doing it, but we have holy acts and sacraments. There's a purpose for each one of them. And we'll get into deeper meanings as to all of that stuff, too. Why not?
Well, the church, as everyone knows, has given us, you know, the books that they sent out, the catechism.
Yes.
There's two different forms. One's the original version, and one's the essentially the Cliff Notes. So I feel like the church has not done that, those books or the folk in the church any service with it. They just kind of said, here you go, and then that was about it. I feel we lack training in that area.
I agree with you, and I honestly think that the midweek experience should be us going over that, not learning about singing.
Like the old RI, you know.
Yeah.
Religious instruction. That's what it was. It wasn't a Sunday school thing. It wasn't part of confirmation. It was a brother, a priest, our dad, you know, somebody that was a scholarly, right? And they would look up the word, or first it was the brown book and then the green book, and then as the years progressed, right, there had to be more, and then it became an understanding. And with the catechism, you're right, we've got this encyclopedia necology, and it's like, oh my goodness, I mean, my eyes cross after reading 10 minutes of it because of all the sub paragraphs and the little carrots and dotted I's and all the little it looks like a law book, honestly. So I mean, I don't know, we should read it more, but you're right, there should be an understanding, and maybe that can be, we can help with that sometime down the road. I don't know, it's difficult to read.
Correct.
Well, if you remember in the past month, maybe in the past year or so, Father has emphasized a couple of things in his letters. Attendance in the services and being active in the congregation. And you think about those things, and now with what we've heard about understanding this stuff, if when everything happens, people look at, oh yeah, they're always here, and they've always been active in this, and yes, they had answers for these and that, then it's an easy segue into the next phase. But if by chance they don't even know who we are, and I'm not saying that's the case, I'm just saying that it makes sense now. Father's kind of bringing us along and saying, okay, go to church, get active, learn this stuff, because when all said and done, we're going to become teachers. And that's a big thing. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah, good point.
Fred has something he'd like to share.
Well, I was coerced and I shared it by a text, but basically those of us remember the brothers meeting on Saturday nights, those were teachings. That was not just listening. We were taught. It was interactive. We had questions, we asked.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I actually just brought that up to a younger sister here last weekend. She's woke, as the young people would say, right? She's now paying attention. She's young. She's now just questioning the hypocrisy between certain things that we hear and how ministers act. And we've all experienced that, where, you know, our faith is this and our faith is that. And I told her our brothers' meetings and how we were as ministers. We were taught, don't do this, do that, never do that. You know, and I said, we don't have that. We don't have that anymore. And I guess, unless I'm wrong, I assume, because Sam's a minister here, he hasn't gone to a brother's meeting, I think, since I've even moved here. It's been 2 years, you know. They get together for coffees and stuff, but there hasn't been that teaching, right, that regimented, you know, every Saturday or, you know. But you're right, Fred. That's interesting.
You know, if you would ask any of the members probably today what our faith is, I wonder how many could actually reiterate what our faith is.
Correct. And this is the point that Father made, where the brothers are trying to water down our doctrine or skirt around it by making us the same as everybody. We are not.
It also goes back to, I mean, I can tell you that all of the older generations in our church, Fred, can answer your question, no problem.
Sure.
The younger generations cannot. And I'm, to me, I mean, yes, you have to do your own research and learn about your faith, mm-hmm. but it also falls back to me on the ministers. Because if you're going to have these guests come into your congregation and baptize them, those that are being baptized and sealed need to understand what they're being baptized and sealed for.
Exactly.
And when the teaching isn't there, then, I mean, yeah, you're not going to have the same respect, the same heart-driving faith that you had back in when you guys would go to Kitchener, because it's not. There is not that same minister level. There's not that same mentality of we need to teach. We don't have religious instruction. I mean, it's a totally different era, even from when I was in religious instruction and confirmation till now. So you don't have that. And it's not all ministers. Don't get me wrong. It's not all congregations. It's totally, you know, base by base. But when you don't have that teaching and you don't have that person taking responsibility for the members, and helping them and guiding them, that's when you have that almost like they fall through the crack, because you can put it that way.
Correct.
And my heart breaks for those people. Sorry.
So with what Danielle just said, that the teaching isn't necessarily there, and I guess I'm going to throw this question out to all the guardians and spouses, do we understand what soul care means? And that's more than a minister making a visit. That's just
correct.
Talking about faith and talking about someone about our faith or being there to support for someone. And what's interesting is that with the way my schedule is right now, I hold services, I hardly ever visit. Made 2 visits today because I said, I'm sick of it. I'm just going to go do it because I'm so busy during the week. And then we have a lot of things going on Sundays as well. We did it today, so I took advantage of that. But a lot of times, soul care happens before the service and after the service, where you're talking to someone and you just really start talking about faith. And when the service really moves you, and I'm not saying make something up or plan it, because depend.hs, to give you the right words, but it's amazing to me how often right after a service get into an in-depth deep conversation with someone, and they just then all of a sudden the service clicks for them and they leave with the joy that we've heard about today. But when we think about, we as guardians, we've been chosen to do a really big thing. Part of that is teaching, and becoming the bride of Christ is a teaching. That's what we're going to do. And so maybe I never thought about this before, but maybe if we start thinking about not really taking on a ministry, but acting like we're a minister and just letting the Holy Spirit do something, I wonder what that would do. What do you think about that idea?
Good idea. Because HS can do anything he wants. He doesn't have to have a minister with an ordination. He can talk to anybody he wants, to anyone he wants. He can talk to a child. So it's important that you and I are open to that idea. It's not that you and I are trying to make our church look bad or the brothers bad. That's not what the intent of this whole discussion is. It's that you and I have a leg up on many things. And right now, we can't really share a lot of it with people outside of our family and friends. But down the road, you and I are going to be wide open, and Father's going to expect you and I to talk and speak. And we do, because you stand in power and authority, and I stand in His. People are going to listen. And I know that might confound some of you, because you think to yourself, I'm really no one special. I don't know why I'm even in this position. But if you look at the first apostles, none of those guys were special either. No education. They were all priests. They were all foul-mouthed tradesmen. But they, when they spoke in the power and authority of Jesus, people's hearts burned and they listened. And that's exactly what's going to happen for us too. You and I have to believe that we stand in Father's power and authority. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Tranquility sent me an email. They put their house up for sale this past Wednesday. And they had a showing this evening around 6:30. So they had to get out of the house. So she's not on the call. She asked if everyone would please pray that their house sells fast. Also, if you'd like to send her an email, this past Friday was her last day of she's officially retired. Beautiful thing. Jealous.
Nice.
Yeah. All right. That's all I have. And I asked Atmos if he would pray. So Atmos, if you'd be so kind.
Trilin, excuse me.
Yeah.
This Thursday is Tranquility's birthday.
Yes. Thank you. Good point. Atmos?
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening, happy to have been able to get together as a team. Would you pray for Tranquility, for Tom, and for their family? We ask that you would allow their house to be sold quickly and for more than what they were originally asking, and help their affairs to come into order and that they may be settled quickly. We thank you for the opportunity to share what was on our hearts and our minds, and to understand that we are not alone in this, Father, that there are fellow guardians that are going through the same day-to-day battles that we are, to know that there are others that are facing the same trials we are, gives us some strength and some courage, and we thank you for that. We ask for strength and courage for all of our teammates and their spouses, Fred and Kathy as well, Trilin and Starlight. We pray for them for strength, and we pray that you would allow us all to understand what it is you need us to do in the coming weeks. We need your strength, Father. Lord Jesus, you know that we need you by our side. We love your sense of humor. We love your love, your peace, your grace, your joy, and your mercy. We ask that it would all be upon us as we go through this week and this month before we meet again. We look forward to fulfilling your work, Father. Until then, we know that there are many battles that must be fought and many things that still must be learned. So we are honored to do those things for you, Father, to learn, to be your servant. Help us and guide us. We love you so very much, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Love you guys.
Love you too.
Love you. Thank you.
Have a great week.
You too.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.